Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Is the call in number. You can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. Again, 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
And it's Ian.
And Bonnie.
And speaking of cryptocurrency, we use a tool here in New Hampshire called AnyPay in order to make crypto payments. If you're using the Edge Wallet, HandCashBitcoin.com, or Dash Wallets, then your experience is going to be incredibly smooth and lightning fast. But some wallets aren't ready for the impressive new technology, and the wallet programmers need to hear from you, the wallet users. Visit AnyPayInc.com/upgrade to learn why some popular wallets are incompatible with AnyPay 2.0, and reach out to the wallet programmers and encourage them to make payments perfect at AnyPayInc.com/upgrade. I think I'm using USD or a debit card like twice a week at this point. It's almost always because, I mean, Mighty Moose Market is open and they have all of my vices like cigarettes and stuff.
Yeah,
so it's easier
and wine and everything.
Yeah, it's easier just to go next door and they take cryptocurrency there. I've used my card there once.
Damn.
And that was because I was waiting on Bitcoin Cash to transfer. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I need cigarettes and I don't want to wait.
Buy my coffee there with Dash.
Bitcoin Cash, she just did her first crypto purchase a few days ago, and has done, what, 2 or 3 cents then, or something like that?
Yeah, nice. With Dash.
Bitcoin Cash is zero conf, though. You shouldn't have to wait.
To use it?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't check.
Yeah, try that next time.
Okay.
Send yourself some Bitcoin Cash, and then immediately try to spend it.
Okay, see, I'm just in the habit of waiting for confirmations,
yeah.
And sometimes when there's a lot of traffic, that can take a little while.
I don't think you need to with Bitcoin Cash.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's risky. But interesting.
It's not really that risky, if you think about it, because at least with Bitcoin Cash, there's no way to do the what they call the replace by fee. So Bitcoin, one of the ways Bitcoin is broken, the original Bitcoin BTC, is a few years ago they put in this thing called replace by fee, and without getting too technical, it basically allows you to cancel, if you want to, or bump the fee up of a thing, of one of your transactions after the fact. And as long as replace by fee is turned on as an option on the transaction, then it can be undone before that first confirmation comes in. That was never originally part of Bitcoin. They added that later.
No, and there are so many better ways they could have done it that could have prevented people from being scammed or something like that. You know, they could have just added it into the actual protocol where you could just throw a little more Bitcoin out there, attach it as your fee to that transaction.
Without allowing them to cancel it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But of course, no, they wouldn't do that. Anyway, let's go to the phones. We've got Dave Ridley calling from New Hampshire. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live. I got you muted. Hold on. Sorry.
I voted for New Hampshire back in 2003.
Can you start over?
Libertarians were deciding which state to move to. It's because of this thing I call the genius of New Hampshire, or better yet, it's the idiocy of the places surrounding New Hampshire. The surrounding states do our work for us. And here's an example. It's an article in Granite Rock. Quote, on June 1st of 2020, the busybodies in the Bay State banned menthol-flavored cigarettes. Here in the Granite State, we said thank you. Before summer was over, NH had added over $16 million in new revenue as a result. The latest figures pushed that to over $28 million in 6 months,
wow.
Unquote.
They banned menthol cigarettes in Massachusetts?
I think they also banned all flavored vapes as well.
Yeah, I remember that part. I thought they exempted menthol. I don't remember them. I guess they did. It's crazy.
When was that?
That was
June.
In 2020, and then previously in 2019, I guess they had banned vaping.
It's always...
According to Granite Rock, I don't know if they banned vaping. Maybe they just banned selling it. But Granite Rock says they banned vaping.
Well, they banned flavored.
Yeah, I think
vapes.
They banned the sales.
Really? Of all vaping materials?
I'm not sure about that. I know we covered some of this stuff, but it's
sure.
So hard to keep straight what all the tyrannies are and all these other places. I mean, it's difficult.
Who wants to vape a flavorless vape, though?
Yeah, well, not many people, so they're driving to New Hampshire to buy their flavors.
And it's working out well for New Hampshire.
The surrounding states do our work for us.
No doubt. The point being, though, that people are coming here and spending, but unfortunately it's the government that's actually benefiting from this. I mean, yeah, the business owners are getting more business, but the government's collecting tax revenue. So, I mean, it's hard to really cheer for that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, when it says NH has added over $16 million, I don't know if that means the government only or if the government plus businesses. But I think most of the money spent on cigarettes goes, I mean, it's not mostly taxed.
I think that they are a significant chunk of the cost of cigarettes.
It depends on which state. It depends on which state you're in. There's different states have different levels of taxation.
Well, that's what I was going to explain. In Mississippi, you can get a pack of Newports for $5.
Mm-hmm. For New York City, 15.
Yeah, and all of that's because of, you know, taxes that the states have put on them. In New Hampshire, it's like $8-$9 per pack. In Massachusetts, it was 13 or 14.
Massachusetts did ban flavored tobacco products, including menthol. Insane.
Well, New York's gun laws brought our roommate to us from New York, and New Jersey's lockdowns brought a family to New Hampshire this week.
That's right. Good point. Yeah, we had a family show up at Social Sunday this week. Dude was raided by the police because his son didn't wear a mask. He wouldn't make his son wear a mask to school.
And he was put in the loony bin for 10 days.
That's right. Involuntary commitment.
For not wearing a mask?
That's for his son.
Yep.
His son was put in involuntary commitment?
No, he was, but because of his son not wearing a mask.
His 7-year-old.
Yeah, he wouldn't make his son wear a mask to go to school, so they raided his house, knocked down his doors, I think 3 doors, into his home.
What state was this?
New Jersey.
So they have moved to New Hampshire?
He now lives in New Hampshire.
Good for them.
Although he's facing criminal charges in Jersey, so he may have to go back to go to jail.
That's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And it's not that New Hampshire is necessarily a whole lot better on some of these things. Obviously, I don't want to pay $9 for a pack of Newport Menthol cigarettes, but at least they are available to me, mm-hmm. which isn't the case in Massachusetts.
Unbelievable.
Well, you're not paying dollars for cigarettes anymore.
That's a good point.
But someone is, somewhere along the supply chain.
Yeah, unfortunately, until we can finally get people in the supply chain to accept cryptocurrency, because that's the next achievement as far as cryptocurrency acceptance is concerned, because it's cool to have local businesses accepting crypto. There's no doubt that's really cool. It's fun to go out and spend it. It's fun to have them accept it, and it's good when they hold on to it. But it would also be really nice if they could actually pay their suppliers.
And their electric bills and stuff like that. Because, you know, they have to have some amount of cash right now in order to pay their bills and to pay their suppliers and stuff like that. We do need the energy companies and their suppliers, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, all of these other places, to also be willing to take cryptocurrency. Cut out cash entirely. And I'm hoping that one day we see that. Ridley, thank you so much for the call. This isn't the first story I've seen lately of Massachusetts just doing something insane that boosted New Hampshire. I think it was their income tax thing that pushed more people into New Hampshire because people are working from home now, so it doesn't matter where they work, and New Hampshire has no income tax.
Cigarette sales, by the way, according to Reason Magazine in December of last year, fell 24% in the month of August. So, like, the first full month, basically, or
this
the second full month in Massachusetts. But they skyrocketed 65% in New Hampshire and 17% in Rhode Island. Menthol sales soared by 91% in New Hampshire and 40% in Rhode Island.
I do remember a period last year where I kept having to go shop around different convenience stores in order to find menthol cigarettes.
I bet that's why.
And it seems like that would probably be why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's frustrating, but
I've got to give you more on this one.
Absolutely.
A bill was introduced earlier this year that would have suspended the ban on menthol cigarette sales for 12 months, named an Act to Protect Communities of Color. The bill focused on how the menthol ban impacts black residents specifically, because, for those that don't know, menthol cigarettes are very popular amongst the black populace. Unfortunately, the legislature's Committee on Public Health effectively killed the bill by voting to move the proposal to a study. Thus, flavored tobacco ban is left standing for the time being. There's little difference in the overall smoking rate between blacks and whites, but 85% of black smokers use menthol products. Non-menthol cigarettes are just as deadly as their flavored counterparts, so why are the products used by a majority of black smokers being targeted for prohibition when white smokers can continually legally buy their cigarettes of choice?
That's a good question. I smoke menthols because, I mean, they're better. They go down smoother and, you know, they're just better in general. The same people, same reason people don't want to use a flavorless vape is the reason I don't want just a straight tobacco-tasting cigarette. What do you think? Should cigarettes be illegal? Is Massachusetts handling this correctly? Or should we free up the markets and let adults make their own decisions? This is Free Talk Live.
Look, I'm sorry, but you're in for a world of pain if you use Coinomi. The reason is their wallet doesn't support payments. The solution is simple. Let them hear your voice. Message Coinomi on Twitter, it takes 5 seconds, and tell them AnyPay sent you, because they're on the fence right now, and your voice will prove that people care about using Bitcoin for payments. Go tweet at Coinomi now. Or even better, leave a review in the App Store. They really pay attention there. Thanks.
If you want to know the latest about Free Talk Live before we go on the air, all you need to decide is how you want it delivered. It's your choice. Visit news.freetalklive.com to receive our usually weekly news updates by email. Plus, we have a Twitter account at twitter.freetalklive.com, and you can follow us on the decentralized Mastodon platform at toot.freetalklive.com. So please follow us at toot.freetalklive.com and sign up for our emails at news.freetalklive.com.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions, or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bain Books at BaneBooks.com.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You're still not sure why you'd want to watch, but our video feed is streaming nightly for free at cam.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160 is the call-in number. You can join us. Take take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever you want. That's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And Bonnie.
And ForkFest is coming up in just over 4 months, June the 28th through July the 4th, at the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire at Rogers Campground, to be specific. You don't want to miss it. If you want to, it's no one's in charge. You can just pretty much do whatever you want as long as you follow the very lax rules of the campground. There's nowhere else I'd rather be during the summer than ForkFest. And it may be the only event happening this year. And ForkFest is going to happen whether there's people vaccinated, whether people are still masking up, or whether there's still shutdowns, because it happened last year in the midst of all of that. It's June the 28th through July the 4th. ForkFest.party is the unofficial website. You can find links to the unofficial Telegram and the unofficial forum there.
Did you hear there's a new unofficial website?
I did not.
ForkFest.com.
Really?
That's right.
Okay.
Derek J. called to announce it this week, and you're going to be really excited about this as the person who sponsored last year's, what I would say was relatively successful app.
It was, but the people behind it have been so unresponsive that I'm not interested in giving them money again.
Good news. You don't have to give them a dime because ForkFest.com now has an actual map where you can add to your business or whatever it is you're doing on your camp. You want people to come to your campsite.
Oh, you can do it directly?
Yeah, you can just type it in. There's a form. You add it in there, and then you show up on the map.
Okay, that is awesome.
Yeah.
ForkFest.party.
Yeah.
ForkFest.com. That's what I meant, yeah.
ForkFest.party is where you go to learn about the event. And when you know you're going or you want to find out what's happening, you go to ForkFest.com.
And you should be there because it's going to be awesome. It always is. There's a fireworks display probably going to be taking place on the 3rd, I think. June the 28th through July the 4th. Check it out, ForkFest.party. And I look forward to checking out ForkFest.com.
Yeah, I mean, there's already five campsites that are registered there.
Wow, really?
Including the Dome.
That's right, Space Disco.
I assume the Free Talk Live.
No, I haven't put ours up there yet.
Okay.
Because I'm not 100%. I've still got to talk to the campground and confirm that we've got our spot. I mean, I'm pretty sure we do, but I want to be 100%.
It's understandable.
Yeah. I mean, we'll be there. I just don't know which site.
Right. You know. Well, we've talked several months ago about this wire transfer that Citibank accidentally sent out to a firm that they owed money to. And now a New York court has ruled that they can't get that $500 million back, and I love everything about it.
Okay, but you got to refresh me on this. What was the mistake? Because was it overpaid?
That. Yes, okay. They overpaid. They, after committing one of the, quote, biggest blunders in banking history, Citibank won't be allowed to recover the almost $500 million it accidentally wired to Revlon's RIT lenders. Citibank, which was acting as Revlon's loan agent, meant to send about $8 million.
Revlon, the makeup company.
Yes.
Okay.
They meant to send about $8 million in interest payments to the cosmetic company's lenders. Instead, they accidentally wired almost 100 times that amount, including $175 million to a hedge fund. In all, Citi accidentally sent $900 million to Revlon's lenders instead of the $8 million that they meant to send.
Wow.
And I was not upset about it.
Did this money actually come from, like, Citibank's coffers? Or did it come from Revlon's account? It must have come from Citibank.
I would imagine so, because it sounds like Revlon had no money.
Right. If Revlon's in debt, then they're making debt payments or whatever.
So Citibank filed a lawsuit in August seeking the return of its funds, but it still has not received $500 million from 10 investment advisory firms after the accidental transfer. And I love it. I hope they're suffering. I hope they go bankrupt. The law usually punishes those who spend money accidentally deposited into their accounts, and I think that's absolutely absurd.
Yeah, I agree.
I've seen this before. My brother-in-law had it happen with him. Someone accidentally posted like $3,000 or $4,000 to his bank account, and he spent some of them. They're like, hey, no, you
can't do that.
You have to bring this back. But you gave the money to me.
Right. So it should be the bank that's on the hook for that.
Yes. Accidental transfers are common in the digital age, and wires can be paid back instantly. A Pennsylvania couple faced felony charges after spending money accidentally deposited into their account.
Felony charges?
Yeah, because of a bank's mistake.
Yep.
And presumably there was a person like, oh, this isn't legitimate. I shouldn't spend this money. But New York law has exceptions to this rule known as the, quote, discharge for value defense. If the beneficiary is entitled to the money and did not know it was accidentally wired, they can keep it. Revlon Linder said they believed Citibank was wiring prepayments for a loan. After all, the money accidentally wired was the exact amount, quote, to the penny that Citibank owed them, although the loan wasn't set to mature for quite some time. The court ruled the lenders were justified in believing the payment was intentional. Citibank itself did not realize the magnitude of its mistake until nearly a day later. To believe that Citibank, one of the most sophisticated financial institutions in the world...
And one of the worst. I just want
to
say.
I've yet to use them, but...
Yeah, I've never used them.
They're all pretty bad.
I mean, they are bad, but I've been through a lot of these big bad banks over the years with the Shire Free Church, and Citibank's account opening process was the worst. It took longer than any other bank I've ever been through. It was the most arduous, the most ridiculous, and yeah, they're bad.
I think Wells Fargo is probably my favorite among them, and Bank of America my least favorite. TD Bank, definitely my least
Your
favorite.
Your least favorite, yeah. TD Bank.
I mean, they shut me down in like 3 weeks.
America's most convenient bank.
It wasn't very convenient when they froze
legendary service.
Yeah. Oh, it was legendary, all right. So the court document says that to believe that Citibank, one of the most sophisticated financial institutions in the world, had made a mistake that had never happened before to the tune of nearly $1 billion would have been borderline irrational. The judge's ruling used internal chats between HPS employees, I don't know what that stands for, as further proof the creditors had no idea the wiring was a mistake until after Citibank sent notices. In the chat, which was dated a day after the mistake in wiring, HPS employees joked about the error, saying, "I feel really bad for the person that fat-fingered a $900 million erroneous payment. Not a great career move." The lenders cannot take the money and run. Since an appeal is a possibility, though, a temporary restraining order is in effect. Obviously, Citibank is appealing the decision. They want to get their money back. Even though they did owe this money in the first place, I don't see what the big deal is. They have well more than $1 billion to spend. Just pay it and write it off.
So Revlon can't spend it?
It was never Revlon's, I don't think. I don't understand the nuances of how all of this mess works. I just know that Revlon...
It was a loan payment from Revlon, right? They're in debt, so they're making payments on their debt.
It sounds like, yes, Citibank was making payments on Revlon's debt.
On their behalf or something like that.
They said that we strongly disagree with this decision and intend to appeal. We believe we are entitled to the funds that we borrowed and legitimately owed this company, and will continue to pursue a complete recovery of them. And, of course, they managed to find a way to work the pandemic into this, ending the article with, "The pandemic has hurt makeup brands like Revlon, shares of which are trading more than 40% lower from a year ago."
Revlon always sucked.
Do they test on animals?
I don't know. I just don't like their makeup.
I don't know if I've ever used them, so I don't know if they test on animals or not, but I always check first, and I imagine they probably do. Love how they managed to work the pandemic into this, though, in an article that had absolutely nothing to do with the pandemic, and if Revlon was already badly in debt, it's probably not the pandemic's fault. This is Free Talk Live.
Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this, right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it, and once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
I've always wanted to change the world, so I moved to the Shire to join people who were actually working towards doing the same thing.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here, and I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, connect with others via the forum at ShireSociety.com. That's Shire Society.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. President Biden hits the road Tuesday to push for his $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan during a town hall in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The town hall can be seen on CNN at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. It will be a socially distanced event with the president taking questions from a small invitation-only audience of Democrats, Republicans, and independents. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki telling reporters on Tuesday that Biden is hoping to get support from Republicans.
Obviously, Republicans in Congress will have to make their own choice about whether they support the final package. It's still working its way through Congress.
Former President Donald Trump called Mitch McConnell a political hack following the Senate Minority Leader's condemnation of Mr. Trump's actions leading up to the Capitol riot. Trump adding if Republican senators are going to stay with him, they'll not win again. USA Radio News. Winter storm warnings are in place across the southern plains as the region braces for another system. More snow and ice are expected in areas of Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana on top of the snow that already fell over the weekend. The storm stretching from Texas all the way up the East Coast. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear telling everyone to be smart.
We did not make it through almost a year of a pandemic to lose people to a snow or an ice storm.
Health officials say the dramatic drop in coronavirus cases, hospitalizations, and deaths is because of social distancing measures and more vaccines. Dr. Ajish Jha is the dean of Brown University School of Public Health. He tells NBC's Today Show we need to keep our guard up for just a little bit longer.
We're just about to enter a really big storm. We will get through that storm, and by the later spring, I think things will be much, much easier to open. I'm just asking people to hold on a little bit longer.
USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Yep, we still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That's the call-in number. You can call in and you can talk about anything you want. 603-283-6160 with you tonight. It's Aria.
And it's Ian.
And Bonnie.
And last week or the week before or at some point in the distant, in the recent past, we talked about Cuba making moves toward privatization and taking strides toward a free market. It was a socialist failed
Freer.
State.
Yeah.
It's a taking strides towards.
Yeah, okay.
They're not there.
That's not their goal.
No, it's
they
not.
Don't have a goal in mind of getting to a free market, but they don't want, you know, to be in a total S-hole.
And they are aware at this point that the tenets of socialism are not working. And they're not the only ones. Venezuela, it seems, is also coming to terms with that reality and is similarly taking strides toward privatization and allowing people to actually, you know, not be government employees, not have to drink sewage water, not have constant brownouts.
Yeah, well, interestingly, I mean, there's been a few different things that have happened over recent, the last couple of years. One of them that was pretty big, I don't know, like a year ago now, maybe, maybe a little more than a year ago, the Venezuelan government did finally unofficially allow people to start using dollars.
That's right, I remember that.
So to allow business to actually price in dollars, to accept dollars, to sort of dollarize the economy, so to speak. Now, No, by no means are we fans of the dollar. Obviously, we spent earlier trashing the dollar. But by comparison to the Venezuelan bolivar, the dollar is holding steady. It's not. Of course, the dollar is losing value. But the Venezuelan bolivar is losing value at a tremendous clip. So it seems like it's better to, and it is better to use the dollar than the bolivar.
Sure.
But again, you know, both of them are just losing value at different speeds.
Bitcoin is also pretty popular in Venezuela.
Cryptocurrencies are, yeah. The Dash people did a lot of good outreach down there years ago, and I think are still doing outreach down there. It's one of the Caracas is one of the largest Bitcoin cryptocurrency accepting cities. You've got major corporations like Burger King that are accepting cryptocurrency at point of sale.
Really?
Multiple cryptocurrencies? Yeah,
look,
that was
if they have the infrastructure for this, why don't they implement it worldwide?
I don't know if it's a corporate decision or if it is a franchise. I'm not sure who made that decision when it comes to Burger King. But that is a good question.
I imagine they would have to get corporate permission.
You would think so.
I mean, they're using software written by corporate and hardware leased
by
corporate.
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah, that's a great question. Why, you know, haven't they rolled that out further? Why are they only doing it in places where it's a desperate move?
There was a Domino's, I think, in Germany that awarded people $10,000 or an equivalent amount in Bitcoin in return for something.
Hmm.
So it's not unusual to see some of these places around the world that, you know, don't accept cryptocurrency here in the United States being friendly toward it in other places. And, of course, Venezuela, where the bolivar is worthless or rapidly becoming worthless, Bitcoin is a very attractive currency. Or maybe not Bitcoin, but Bitcoin Cash or just about anything that gets their money away from their government.
Yeah, right.
Oh, this is promising.
So whenever we bring up Venezuela, and it's actually been quite a while since we've talked about it here on Free Talk Live, but whenever we bring it up, I always like to check my favorite Venezuelan website, dolartoday.com. Which is the place where you can go to get the actual price of the bolivar. Which
right, because the Venezuelan government gives you a this is what we want the exchange rate to be number, but then there's an actual exchange rate number that, you know, is independent of what the government says it wants it to be.
Yes, and so the actual exchange rate, the real price of the bolivar when you buy it on the black market, or rather when you sell it. So if you've got a stack, and you're going to need a stack of them, a bolivar, and you want to get dollars, you have to go onto the black market. You can't go into a bank. It's not allowed. The bank cannot, even if they have dollars in the till, they cannot sell you a dollar for any number of bolivar, even whatever the official exchange rate is. Not
you have
allowed.
To go through the government to do that,
you
right?
You cannot do it.
I thought you could.
You can't legally do it. You can illegally do it.
Okay.
And now they're turning a blind eye to those things happening, so they're not actually going after people for that. But what happened was the Bolivar Soberano was introduced in August of 2018. So we're just over 2.5 years since that time. And when it happened, I went to DolarToday.com, and we marked it. We said, here's the price of the new Bolivar Soberano, which was like 70 to 1 at the time. And they'd left behind the other Bolivar, the Bolivar Fuerte, which means strong Bolivar.
Right, because every few years they just sort of reinvent the Bolivar, knock some zeros off of it, and call it done.
They knocked, I believe, 5 zeros off of the Bolivar in 2018 when this happened. And so there was a very, very large exchange rate at the time. I don't remember what it was for the Bolivar Fuerte, but it kept on going up and up and up as far as the amount of Bolivar that it took to buy one U.S. dollar.
For some perspective on this, imagine having a $100 bill and the U.S. government suddenly telling you that it's now worth a penny.
One penny. Yeah, that's right. That's what they did.
That's what they did to the people of Venezuela.
And it wasn't the first time. The first time they was back in the aughts, where they took the Bolivar, what was then called the Bolivar, and knocked 3 zeros off. And then they called that the new Bolivar, the Bolivar Fuerte, the strong Bolivar. They then knocked 5 zeros off in 2018, and 5 zeros, and then they called it the Bolivar Soberano, which stands for Sovereign Bolivar, which is an even more hilarious name. So
they're going to run out of adjectives at some point.
Yeah, I don't know when they're going to try to do this again, but it's getting pretty bad again. So looking at the actual black market price of the bolivar today, remember, this changes constantly.
Right.
It goes up constantly. The amount of Bolivar Soberano that it takes to get $1 on the black market. Remember, when they first introduced the Bolivar Soberano, it was like 70 to 1.
It sounds familiar because the number of dollars it takes to get one Bitcoin goes up almost every day as well.
Here's what it is today. So remember, 70 to 1 on day one. Now, 2.5 years later, 1.7 million
Holy
to 1.
Crap. See, I would have, I was expecting something like 400, 500 to 1.
What does this mean?
It means that the Venezuelan government is dramatically inflating their currency. So it takes
insane levels.
Yeah. So what took 71 Bolivar? Actually, we have some older Bolivar on the wall of the studio here. We've got the Bolivar Fuerte, which we bought.
Is that the $500 note there?
Bolivar. Right. Yeah, 500 Bolivars, which is the Bolivar Fuerte. So 71. It took 71 Bolivar to get one U.S. dollar in 2018. It now takes 1.7 million of them to get one U.S. dollar in 1.734. It's a
in 2 years, oh my God.
Yeah,
or
in 2.5 years.
More than a million now.
Yeah, almost 2 million.
That's a lot of inflation.
Yeah, that is a lot of inflation.
So
it's not stopping.
No, and I can't even put that into perspective for people. That's so far beyond $100 being worth a penny.
It's like where if you go into, I forget who said this to us, but it's when you go into a bar, the price is going up as you're drinking. Right. So you finish one beer and buy. You might as well buy your beers
early. Yeah.
No. As you're drinking.
Right. That's what I meant.
Right.
Over the 1.7 million over the course of 2 years basically means that it's going up by the minute.
That's right. So if you're going to go into a bar, you should buy your drinks early. Or, no, buy them later? No, yeah, buy them early. Buy them early.
Because it's worth more.
Right. So get all your drinks at once rather than wait, you know?
That doesn't sound, that's Keynesianism in a nutshell, though. It encourages people to, get out there and spend their money because it's going to be more. It's going to be worth less in just a few minutes than it is right now.
That's how bad it is. So that wasn't even really the point of the article here. We were just kind of just generally riffing on how bad things are in Venezuela. And we didn't even talk about the suffering that the people are going through. We're just talking about how bad the money is. But that's what happens. When you debase the money, you impoverish the people. Because you take away their wealth and you transfer it to the fat cats at the top.
Until ultimately the people of Venezuela and some of its major cities were actually left drinking sewage water because they had no other running water. More on Venezuela, 603-283-6160.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Telegram. You can follow our channel there and discuss show prep with other listeners at telegram.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. Call in, take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever you want. 603-283-6160 is the call in number to do that. That's 603-283-6160. With you tonight is Aria, Bonnie, and Ian. And we're talking about the widespread suffering that we've seen in Venezuela, where the government over the last 2 years has inflated their currency to the point where originally it was worth 70 bolivar to the, or 71 around bolivar that, yeah, to the U.S., to one U.S. dollar, where now it's almost 2 million bolivar to get one USD.
And that's already, that's after they not locked, lobbed eight zeros off of the bolivar in previous years.
Yes, clearly so. Something about their policies is not working out. And
yeah,
it seems that they may have finally realized that.
I don't know. I mean, whether they've realized that it was their policies that were screwed up or not, or this is just a move out of pure desperation to try to save some level of face and not have people burn them out of their homes, meaning the government guys, to burn them out of their homes and their offices, which surprisingly hasn't happened yet in Venezuela.
Well, they can't afford the matches to do it.
No, I mean, you can make fire if you really need to.
Sure.
You know, it's an indication of how much people will put up with. I mean, they really have been living in abject poverty in Venezuela for most of the last decade now.
I think the issue here is that the Venezuelan government has the backing of the military because mm-hmm. the government is still taking care of the military.
That's true.
They'll always, the peasants may starve, but they'll always find a way to feed the soldiers, because the soldiers are the ones who protect them from the peasant uprising.
Yeah, I thought that I did remember maybe in, like, 2016 there being, like, riots there.
But there have been some unrest. I mean, there has been some riots in Venezuela. However, ultimately, it never really resulted in anything. They supported an opposition party who was less socialist than the party that's in charge, but still socialist. So it's like, you know, getting rid of one set of dictators and putting in a new set isn't going to change a whole lot. And they never were successful at doing things through the system. So the riots never actually fomented any meaningful change whatsoever. People have to learn that it's going to take more than just shouting. It's going to take more than chanting. It's going to take more than, you know, setting a police station ablaze to change things. People have to want a significant change. And maybe there's just not enough Venezuelans who see it yet. But the good news is that things are starting to change, whether they like it or not. And some of it just out of pure economic desperation. The Foundation for Economic Education has the report here at fee.org. Early in 2007, after winning a second six-year term as president, Hugo Chavez announced his plan to nationalize Venezuela's largest telecommunications company, which is called CanTV, hinting at wider nationalization plans to come. "All that was privatized, let it be nationalized," announced Chavez, who had run under the banner of democratic socialism. Now, what is nationalization?
It's when the government takes control of that industry and all of those industries are effectively government employees.
Correct. It's basically where you, as a private person who might be an entrepreneur, spent your life and your money and your time and everything creating a company. And then the government just comes right in and says, "Oh, this will be ours now."
Isn't that fascism? Too? Like, is that the same thing?
Fascism, as I understand it, is where the government regulates private industry. So, kind of like in the United States, there's, you know, a lot of that goes on here. But
that's how I would define it.
Fascism still technically has quote-unquote private owners, even though it might be an oligopoly or a very limited, restricted marketplace of only the private owners who happen to be buddies with the government. So, I mean, it's you know, half a dozen of one and six, you know, five of the other or whatever, but technically it's not fascism, it's socialism. So when they nationalize a company, they make that part of the government. So they take a successful business and they turn it into a government bureaucracy.
And if you're good, they might still let you be the manager of it.
I wonder how often that happens.
I can't imagine it's very frequent.
Because I doubt it's very frequent, because I remember reading years ago that they, you know, always run them into the ground. They take successful businesses and they run them like a government would run them, which is to say poorly. And so let's see what happened. A decade and a half later, or nearly, on the brink of mass famine and growing energy crisis, Venezuela is now moving in the opposite direction. According to Bloomberg News, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has quietly begun transferring state assets back into the hands of private owners in an effort to reverse the country's economic collapse. Caracas-based journalists...
So if they know what is causing the economic collapse, which was the nationalization of everything, why don't they go full tilt and undo that instead of just quietly trying to merge the two systems together?
Because they would have to admit they were wrong.
Is it this doing that, though?
Well, not if it's done quietly.
Okay, fair point. I mean, plus, it wasn't real socialism in the first place.
Well, that's what the socialists would tell you.
Yes, of course.
Saddled with hundreds of failed state companies. Hundreds of them. I mean, this isn't just one or two companies. This is the way they were doing things in Venezuela. Hundreds of failed state companies in an economy barreling over a cliff, the Venezuelan government is abandoning socialist doctrine by offloading key enterprises to private investors, offering profit in exchange for a share of revenue or products, writes Caracas-based journalists Fabiola Zerpa and Nicole Yapur. The transfer, which was not announced publicly but was confirmed by nine people with knowledge of the matter, reportedly included dozens of coffee processors, grain silos, and hotels that were confiscated as part of Venezuela's widespread nationalization that began under Chavez. In some ways, Venezuela's plight is the most unlikely of stories. In 1950, it was one of the most prosperous nations on the planet. It ranked among the top 10 in GDP per capita and had a labor force with higher productivity than the United States. Venezuela's economic growth began to stall in the mid-1970s, however, after it nationalized the petroleum sector, which resulted in a surge of government revenue and public spending. It estimated that Venezuela brought in $7.6 billion in 1975 alone from nationalization, which is approximately $37 billion in today's dollars.
So essentially, the government of Venezuela saw all of the money that their oil companies were making and said, no, we want all of that.
That's right. And it was an easy enough thing for them to do, right?
Sure.
Oh, this is a big business. We'll just take it. This led to an unprecedented surge of public spending. Professor of Political Science at the U.S. Naval Academy, John Polga Hesimovich, said the Venezuelan government spent more from 1974 to 1979 than its entire previous history. Guess what government's doing that now?
That would be the United States government, right?
Which
created like 20% of the money supply in the year 2020 as its entire previous history.
Yeah, it sure did. Things that make you go,
Well, that's always the government's solution to things, is to spend more money, print more money, and spend it.
Wait, they made more dollars in 2020 than they ever made ever?
Not ever. More so, I think it was 20. Some people have said 20%. I've heard as high as 35 or 37%, but let's just call it 20%. So in 2020, they printed out the equivalent of 20% of all the dollars ever printed in just that one year. So that's
a
huge
factor.
The
vast majority of it went to airlines and other bailouts.
Yeah, all corporations. Almost all of it went to corporations.
But Americans got their $600 bone thrown to them, so they were happy.
Oh, speaking of that, earlier I looked this up because one of our friends, Mo, showed me a Twitter account called 1200 Stimulus Is Now Worth, or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I had it searched still on my Twitter, so I knew the name. And I looked it up, and it's gone now. It was showing you.
It took the account down?
Yeah, the account would show you if you bought the day that you got the $1,200 from the stimulus check, the first one. Oh, sorry, if you bought Bitcoin with it, how much your Bitcoin would be worth now. And I went to go check it, and I guess they took it off
Twitter. Got rid of it. Huh.
That would be surprising. Jack Dorsey also owns Square, and they're relatively friendly.
Pro-Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they just happened to close it down for some reason. But so despite the steady growth in government spending, the political situation remained relatively steady. In the late 70s, University of Michigan political science professor Daniel Levine asserted that Venezuelans have achieved one of the few stable, competitive political orders in Latin America. However, Venezuela's flirtation with socialism ended up making things much worse, of course. We'll tell you about that here in a moment after I can reload the page. It would eventually turn into a love affair. In 1998, Venezuelans voted in Chavez, a populist and self-described Marxist. He was reelected in the year 2000 and in 2006 with approximately 60 to 63% of the vote, at which point he began to nationalize various sectors of the economy, including agriculture, the steel industry, transportation, and mining, and confiscating more than 1,000 companies, farms, and properties.
And let's not forget that Bernie Sanders, American senator, heralded Venezuela was as a model, an ideal of socialist utopia.
Yep. He loved Chavez.
He did. And now look at where they're at. 603-283-6160 is the call-in number. Do you see this happening here with the inflation of the USD? 603-283-6160.
No, it can't happen here.
6160.
Divvy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DivvyProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DivvyProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
Look, I'm sorry, but you're in for a world of pain if you use Coinomi. The reason is their wallet doesn't support payments. The solution is simple. Let them hear your voice. Message Coinomi on Twitter, it takes 5 seconds, and tell them AnyPay sent you, because they're on the fence right now, and your voice will prove that people care about using Bitcoin for payments. Go tweet at Coinomi now. Or even better, leave a review in the App Store. They really pay attention there.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.